I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Scripture reading for today comes from the book of John, chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own, but will speak whatever He hears, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, because He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. For this reason I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. The Word of God for the children of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate the reading. John 16, 12 through 15 begins with Jesus telling His disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. What Jesus says here seems to contradict what He had just told the disciples in 15:15. I have made known to you everything I have heard from My Father. How can Jesus have made known everything to the disciples and yet still have many things to say to them? Within the framework of the fourth gospel, the theology that we find with John, Jesus is the full and complete revelation of God. To see Him is, in fact, to see God. This is why Jesus can say in earnest, He has revealed everything from God. This is also why Jesus' words in 16:12 cannot mean there is new content to His revelation. Something else must be going on. John 16:13 adds some clarity. It won't be Jesus doing the talking, but the Spirit. The disciples cannot bear certain things now, but will, through the Spirit, be guided into all the truth. This will take place at a future time, as can be seen in the future tense of the verbs used to describe the Spirit's actions. The Spirit will guide, will speak, and will declare. As the verses leading up to John 16, 12 through 15 indicate, a fundamental difference between the current experience of the disciples at the Last Supper with Jesus and their future experience with the Spirit is that the future context is marked by Jesus' departure from the world. The claim made by verses 12 and 13 is that in the post-Easter period after Jesus' return to God, the Spirit facilitates a fuller understanding of Jesus' revelation without any change to its content. Just as Jesus did, the Spirit reveals God. The vocabulary the Johannine Jesus uses in 16:13 underscores the close connection between Jesus and the Spirit, as well as the Spirit's function of further revealing the same revelation Jesus revealed during His earthly ministry. It might be the term we use today in some context, fleshing it out. Jesus told them, the Spirit's going to flesh it out for them. Earlier in His farewell discourse, Jesus identified Himself as the way and the truth. Just as Jesus is the truth, so is the Spirit of truth, who will guide you into all truth. When Jesus calls Himself the way in 14:6, the Greek word used is hodos. In 16:13, the verb used for the Spirit's act of guiding, hodegio, combines the noun hodos, way, with the verb ago, to bring, to lead. by guiding us into all truth, where truth is the revelation of God found in and through Jesus, the Spirit will bring the way. That the Spirit speaks whatever he hears is in complete continuity with Jesus' method of revealing only what he hears from God. I think many of us have found life reveals things to us at times in the most unusual ways. I had a short-lived career as a hero. I grew up in Fort Worth, and that all, you know, although it was incorporated in Fort Worth, North Richland Hills at that time was a very small area, and that's where my parents bought their home that I spent most of my years in, on that outskirts. And there was not always enough excitement nearby because we were so distant from actual town. So sometimes I would have to find some excitement. And one night I decided our town needed a superhero. Now keep in mind, Superman with George Reeves was a very big show back in that day. And I wanted to be Superman. I wanted to be a superhero. And there was no one better qualified for the job than me. I gathered together all my superhero garb and gear. I put on my mask. I had to have a mask, of course. You know, a superhero must wear a mask. If my identity were to be revealed, my enemies might use that to their advantage in my defeat. At the age of 11, I snuck quietly into my parents' room. They had no idea of the danger that lurked outside, only to pat them and tuck them in before I went out into the danger and darkness. After checking all the doors and windows, and I went around and checked them all, I felt like the house was secure. I walked to my bedroom window and opened it, only to feel the cold air brush my face as if to say, "Hello." I heard a dog howl, and I noticed the lights were a lot dimmer than I had expected. We didn't have bright lights like we do today. You might remember the old light bulbs that we used to use. You know, I was trained in martial arts. I had all kinds of superhero gear. I even had the outfit. But it was as I stood at that window that I realized I was afraid of the dark. Maybe today you think you are the hero to your situation and you don't need God. The guidance of the Holy Spirit. But sooner or later, you're going to face the darkest kind of darkness, and you will discover that you're afraid of the dark. Now, when I walk in the darkness this life brings, I only feel secure with God's Spirit, and I use God and expect God, and I feel that God is my hero. Even though Jesus is no longer physically present as God's revealer, the believer can trust that Jesus and the Spirit share the same source of revelation, which is God. Now, John 16, 14 through 15 continues drawing parallels between Jesus' role as revealer and the Spirit's function of continuing Jesus' revelation in the post-Easter period. What the Spirit reveals comes directly from Jesus. He will take what is mine. Remember those words from Johnny. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. Verse 15 confirms that the ultimate source of revelation for both Jesus and the Spirit is God. Since the Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus, and since what belongs to Jesus belongs to God, then even in Jesus' absence, God's revelation to the world and to the church is still available through the Spirit. There was a pastor from a small rural congregation who visited an old farmer from time to time in an attempt to share the gospel with him. Each time the farmer would tell the pastor, "I believe in God." It is impossible not to when you look around at the beauty of this earth and the way in which life is created. "It's just Jesus I don't understand," the farmer said. "Why would a perfect and all-powerful God have to come down as a man and then die just to make things right?" The pastor was never able to come up with an answer that the farmer found satisfactory. Then one night, as the farmer was sitting in his living room, he heard a thump on his window. He went to see what it was, and outside he saw a group of birds floundering in the snow. They were trying to get into the warmth, but they couldn't figure out how. So they were dying in the snow. So the farmer went outside and opened his barn doors. And he turned on the lights. And he tried to herd the birds into the warmth of the barn because he realized it was their only hope for salvation. But the more he tried to direct them, the more they scattered. At that point, the farmer thought, if only I could become one of them, then I could lead them into the warmth. At that moment, he had an epiphany, and he understood the purpose of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. As we can see in John 16, 12 through 15, the fourth gospel's particular understanding of the Spirit recognizes two realities about how Christianity relates to its past and future. The first is that the revelation that took place in and through Jesus is fundamental for Christian identity. The world will keep turning from the time that revelation first made itself known, hence the Holy Spirit. The church in John's day, today, and always, finds itself trying to understand and live its faith in the midst of social, cultural, and global circumstances that change rapidly. For any of you with any age on you, you know our world has changed rapidly. How many of you grew up with computers? I didn't. But our world just changes rapidly. It might have been tempting for John, whose theology gave central importance to the incarnation, to devalue any understanding of the Christian message that emerges when Jesus is no longer visible in the flesh to deliver it himself. Instead, John places firm confidence in the Spirit as continuing the ongoing presence and revelation of Jesus within the Christian community after Jesus' return to God. For John, then, the church need not fear learning and practicing its faith in Jesus in the midst of a changing world marked by Jesus' physical absence. This is because the Spirit will declare to you the things that are to come. In other words, the Spirit makes it possible a deep understanding of what Jesus means for one's own time, without betraying the core truth of Jesus' original revelation. So often we find people who want to live in the past. And they say, well, in the past, the church did this. In the past, my parents, my grandparents were doing this. But the Spirit reveals to us that our world is changing. And with our world changing, we may not be doing that today. It's a different world. We need to reach out to our young people in a different way. We need to preach Jesus Christ, but we need to do it in a way that young people today can understand it, that they will receive it, because times have changed. It's like Generation Y, also known as Millennials, born from early 1980s to 2000, who wants to be engaged, but it does not give marketers much time to do so. So many are multitasking that the concept of time loses meaning with Generation Y, says Simmons Research CEO Bill Engel. They seem to squeeze 31 hours of time into one day. Their whole life is built on a multitude of choices of products. They largely ignore marketing. Generation Y is a group that grew up with a lot of commercialization, a lot of media choice, a lot of communication choices, and a group that depends on a lot of peer group influence. We have to get away from using demographics when marketing and start using behaviors to decide what media to be involved with. With Generation Y, it's all about relevance and behaviors. The question we as a church as followers of Christ are left with is whether we will listen to the Spirit and be open to newer and deeper understandings of our faith and to the implications of Jesus' revelation for today. The internet, social media, and the 24-hour news cycle now gives us a more immediate awareness of local, national, and global crises that challenge us for a Christian response, such as immigration and racial disparity and police treatment, to list just two examples. It goes on and on. We're in this changing world. Are we going to change? Are we going to change the way that we work to bring people into the church? I think we have, and I'll tell you how I've come to that conclusion. How many of you also grew up with a screen, with media, with things being projected, with a sound system? Most of us growing up, when we went to church, we didn't have that. But we've changed because our world changed and it dictated change, and Jesus says change is the way to go. How do I know that? Because Jesus changed everything. Even for the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes, everyone, he brought change. What is the Christian response to such realities? What response is more true and faithful to Jesus' revelation? Can we, like John, trust the Spirit to guide us in discerning what it means to live out the Christian faith today? Not in 1960, 70, 80, 90. Living it out today. Is the church, our church, as in John's day, finding itself trying to understand and live its faith in the midst of social, cultural, and global circumstances that change rapidly? If so, are you open to the Spirit for a newer and deeper understanding of the ever-evolving Christian faith? Or are you stuck in the past? Bottom line, are you seeking a fuller understanding of what it means to be Christian? If so, we open ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And what is the Spirit telling us? It's telling us we're in a changing world, and we need to change how we take Jesus out into the community and into the world. What are we willing to do to make that happen? Are we willing to look for a fuller understanding? Let us pray. Gracious God, all too often we come and we expect things to be as they were in the old days. We long for those days because those are the days we remember. Those were our formative years. But Lord, they're not the formative years of young people today. And for many of us, we've changed. May we be open to the changing that your Holy Spirit brings, that we may continue your ministries, reach out to those around us, and may give a word to them that is relevant to them where they are in this world today. Fill us with your Spirit, fill us with your love, fill us with understanding, for we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message. And we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.